My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is Lessons from a Strong Man. Our text, Judges chapter 14, verses 1 and 2.
Life is one big learning process. It begins with a newborn baby learning how to breathe and continues throughout life discerning the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Unlike animals, God created man with the ability to think, reason, and choose which direction to go. When it comes to the decision-making progress, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. What is it about man's understanding that is flawed? Why did the smartest man who ever lived say, "Lean not on your own understanding"? Because man cannot tell what is going to happen in the future. Things are not always as they appear. Why did Solomon say, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and allow Him to direct your path"? Because God, who created all things, is omniscient, omniscience, all-knowing. In his article, "Does God Limit His Own Foreknowledge?" Wayne Jackson said, "God can look into the hearts of men, and He is aware of what is in the mind of every human being. God knows the activities of the entire earth, and God knows the intricacies of our bodies, and the very ways of our lives are open to Him." Psalm 119, verse 168. God knows the future just as He knows the present and the past. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Have you ever heard someone say, "I don't see anything wrong with that"? Well, what's wrong with that statement? Ask the first man and woman. Knowing the utter disaster that would result from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, "Don't do it." Satan comes along and says, "God's just playing. You will not surely die." Eve did not see anything wrong with Satan's advice to violate God's one commandment. She and her husband ate that which was forbidden. Then their eyes were opened. Imagine the horror of seeing purity and eternal life give way to sin and death. Throughout history, the majority of people have been punished by God and men for rejecting God's word and doing what was right in their own eyes. But there have always been a faithful few who have obeyed God's commandments and entered eternity through the narrow gate. This morning, we will learn some lessons from the strong man Samson. The history of Samson begins with an act of weakness and disobedience and ends with his eyes put out grinding before his enemies. Samson is an excellent example of physical strength apart from spiritual development. Although men like Jephthah and Samson are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, it does not mean that God approved of all that they did. Their lives were marred by weakness, imperfection, and sinful behavior. Yet it was still true that they relied on the strength God provided to deliver His people from oppression. Learning from Samson's mistakes will help us discern the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Lesson number one, Samson was strong-willed. He wanted a Philistine woman as a wife. God had already condemned such a relationship in Exodus chapter 34, verses 15 and 16, and Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Instead of insisting on God's will, Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Literally, she is right in my eyes. Not necessarily because of her physical beauty, but she was right or fit for his purpose. Any right-minded parent is grieved to see their children marrying an ungodly person because they know it will lead to heartache, and one day injure the soul. Samson wanted that which was forbidden, and no one was going to talk him out of it. The nation of Israel was strong-willed. The Israelites were under a theocracy. They had no other king but God. Yet they told Samuel, "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." After disregarding God's warnings about the king's behavior, the people said, "No, but we will have a king over us." Instead of submitting to God's will, they had to have it their way, which resulted in sin, suffering, and slavery. Being strong-willed is a danger that all of us face. God has provided His Word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible gives examples of people who obeyed and disobeyed His commandments. Without fail, those who obeyed were blessed, and those who disobeyed were punished. Through precept and example, we are taught to pray, "Not my will, but your will be done." Yet how many times have I disregarded wise counsel from God's Word and sound advice from loved ones in order to get what I wanted? Answer, more times than I can count. Well, Mike, how did that work out for you? Just awful. Think about the possibilities Samson had because of his strength. If his physical strength would have matched his spiritual strength, and both were used for the glory of God, he would have been a mighty man of valor in the Old Testament. How much of our strength and God-given abilities do we use for the cause of Christ? If we used our mind to the best of our ability to understand God's Word, how much Bible would we know? If we love God with all of our heart and are committed to work, we could turn this community upside down for Christ. Physical strength is important, but if it is not controlled and directed by spiritual values, it profits nothing and will lead to difficulty and shipwreck. Lesson number two. Samson's life was undisciplined. Look at the deterioration that took place in his life. He went from a Philistine woman to a harlot and then Delilah. It started out desiring the wrong type of woman and ended with his eyes being put out in front of God's enemies. Samson is a picture of how an undisciplined life increases in sin and always leads down the path of destruction. One of the most difficult commandments in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Denying self is learning to say no to the strongest cravings of our earthly nature. If anyone wants to follow Jesus, they have to get self out of the way. This is very hard to do for any age and in any society because we are so conditioned to serving ourselves. One of the Christian graces is self-control. 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 8. Outside of Christ, we were undisciplined slaves of sin. In Christ, we are sons and daughters of God, walking in the light and exposing error. Lesson number three, Samson's disobedience resulted in humiliation. Think of the strength and potential that he had, and here he is blinded in chains and grinding before the Philistines. The prodigal son found himself with the pigs, humiliated. This is what sin always does. It humiliates Christians in front of an unbelieving world. And you call yourself a Christian. One of the reasons we fail to correct mistakes is because of our pride, refusing to acknowledge the humiliation of our sin. When we refuse to confess sin, we will never grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Sin not only humiliates, but sin blinds. Every step Samson took away from God, he ran into difficulty and did not learn from his mistakes. How long would it take for a man to realize Delilah was trying to deceive him? Of course, he deceived her also. I don't care how good-looking she was. The next time Delilah came around and asked, "Where is your strength?" a man that was not blind would say, "I know what you're trying to do. I know who you are hooked up with. I'm not telling you anything." How many people today are following the footsteps of Samson, deceived into thinking that there is such a thing as the sinner's prayer, blinded to the fact that calling on the name of the Lord requires repentance, confession, and scriptural baptism? Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Answer: the majority of religious people. Lesson number 4. Samson was in slavery. Imagine your eyes put out grinding before the Philistines. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." We think we can play with sin just a little and then stop. How many people addicted to drugs thought that a little bit would not hurt them? How many homes and marriages have been destroyed because of a little flirtation and seduction? How many alcoholics thought that they could drink responsibly? It does not matter what the sin is. A little sin always leads to bigger sin, and if not repented of, will cost us our soul. Let's turn our attention to the Nazarite vow. In the Old Testament, making a vow to God was serious business. Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Lying and hypocrisy were condemned in the law. Samson voluntarily took the Nazarite oath and then broke it. The Nazarite vow indicated that Samson was to be separated unto God. The same thing was true of the nation. The books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy show that the nation of Israel was to be a holy nation unto God. They were not to become mixed and mingled with the wicked people around them. Yet they played the harlot with evil nations and served their gods. When Christians obey the gospel through repentance and scriptural baptism, they may have made a promise to forsake sins and serve the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Christians are to live a separated life after baptism. How many once faithful Christians have forgotten the promise they made to God and returned to a life of sin, deceived into thinking that after conversion, God does not care how I act or what I do? God help us to remember the promise we made to God and remind the erring brother or sister of their promise to live faithful unto death. And then again, Samson's broken vow cost him his strength. Samson's strength was not in his hair, but what it represented. His hair was a symbol of his separation unto God. When Samson was obedient, there was no one stronger. But when he broke his promise to God, the world overtook him. Sin always weakens people. In fact, no person ever became stronger because they sinned. This is not only true of an individual, this is true of a congregation. When a congregation forgets that its mission is to serve the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth, when a congregation adopts the practices of the world and sets aside God's one pattern of worship, when a congregation fails to live a life that is separate and distinct from the people around them, they will bring reproach on the church and are headed for disaster. Samson's broken vow also cost him his vision. When Samson was separated from God, he was separated from light. When a man is without the light of God's revelation, he is truly walking in darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, John said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." I'm thankful that 1 John chapter 1 does not end with verse 6. Verses 7 through 9. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." After conversion, there will be moments of weaknesses when we will break our promise to God and sin. "But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God promises mercy over and over in the Bible to those who come to Him with a penitent heart. Not only does He forgive the confessed sins, but based on our walking in the light and being penitent, He will also forgive the sins we have overlooked in asking for His forgiveness. After forgiveness, are there still consequences for sin? Yes. But God's forgiveness is the most important thing. Samson was better off blind than when he had his sight. The lust of the eye had led him astray. As long as he had his sight, he was blinded to what sin was. When his eyes were put out, Samson started to realize some things about life that were truly valuable. In Jesus' day, the hearts of the people had grown dull. They were hard of hearing. They were blind to the truth. How many people today, with 20/20 vision, are heading in the wrong direction? You point to the Word of God and warn them about false doctrine, and they don't want to hear it. "Oh, listen, I'm okay. I'm not heading in the wrong direction. Mind your own business." How many in this building has God had to pull the rug from under before we finally realize sin in our lives? You often hear prisoners say, "If I were not in jail, I would be dead." How many of us are better off in the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in? And then there is Delilah. She represents the heathen gods in whose lap Samson laid his head. Away from God, Samson was comfortable in the presence of God's enemies. God warned the nation of Israel not to fellowship false gods because they would influence their worship. They rejected God's counsel and laid their head in the lap of heathen gods. Is it possible for men today to reject God's word and embrace false worship? Absolutely. Is it possible for the Lord's church in Culpeper to fellowship error? Yes. For this reason, we must be sober, vigilant, and verify every word that is spoken in Jesus' name. Consider Delilah's flattery of Samson. Oh, Samson, you are so big and strong. Your hair is so beautiful, and you're really smart. Tell me wherein your strength lies. With smooth words, she was able to deceive him until he ended up blind and in chains. This is a picture of what the world will do to us. How many once faithful gospel preachers have forsaken the old paths because of the flattery of the world? You are the best preacher I've ever heard. Your message will appeal to all religious people. You should be on TV. There is more danger in the praise of the world than its criticism. Samson would have been better off if Delilah would have laid it on him. You are good for nothing. And you look like a girl with that long hair. Such criticism would have caused him to turn away from what eventually got him in trouble. The flattery and favors of Delilah was simply bait that was designed to make him weak and take away his strength and commitment to God. The flattery and favors of the world is nothing but bait. Its purpose is to take away our strength and commitment to God. And finally, Judges chapter 16, verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. And God, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson asked God for strength to avenge the wrong done to him and not for the glory of God. How tragic. Why did he not think, look at what I've done to the name of God. Lord, help me to glorify you in this last act. David teaches us that all sin is first and foremost against God. Keeping God's honor and glory in mind will help us to avoid the sins and temptations of this world. Let us think about the honor and glory of God when we do sin against Him. Let us repent quickly, accept the consequences, and learn from our mistakes.